Blog Talk Radio.
What did I do wrong? What did I do? I just want someone to love me because I love her.
Everyone, and good evening, and welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 238 shows and counting. We're going to have another great show tonight. I want to welcome everyone aboard, all you new listeners. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you keep coming back and spreading the word, because we are the only hope for these animals to carry on. We have to be their voices and be strong ones and stand together and fight for them because they deserve it. You know, they feel pain just like we do. You know, they have emotions. They have feelings. They have families out there. I mean, they're just like us. They just speak in another language. So when we come together as one, we see things. Positive changes happening for their lives and futures. So let's keep, you know, fighting the good fight and not give up, because if we give up, we automatically lose. So please, everyone, do your part. Take action is the key to all changes to be made. I want to go ahead and my name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals. And all these shows are being recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. So if you ever miss a show or want to go back to listen to any of them, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and search Voices Carry for Animals. And there has been 163 shows from Marty Oakley, TS Radio Network. You can, check all those out. There's 238 shows this evening, and they're going to keep going. We're not giving up. Just go to, the Blog Talk website is www.blogtalkradio.com/voices carry for animals, and just press on the link. Wait a minute for it to download, and then it will play. You can also share from the left side of the screen to other social media networks. So, put your voice out there, put it on social media, because the more help we get out there, the better it is for the animals. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette online, and a big thank you to Marty Oakley and all she does, because she is one of the Voices Carry for Animals started on TS Radio Network. She has some hot topics and some hot issues on the PPJ Gazette online. You can go there. You can follow this show. Just press follow, and every time there's a new podcast, it will alert you in your primary email. Also on Blog Talk Radio on the promo, you can press follow under the Animal Advocates Radio logo, and it will also alert you when there's a new show coming up. So all together, all this from the PPJ Gazette, and I will give some shout-outs later in the show. And thank everyone for their support and helping to promote this show. And we're going to go ahead and get ready. We have another great guest on this evening. Her name is Chris Kelly, and she's the founder of the Chris Kelly Foundation. She's an animal activist, a vegan, and an actress at SAG/AFTRA. She is an awesome woman out there, actress. She is doing so much for the animals. and good inspiration to the animals and humans. I have to, on the promos, I wrote on there what she had said, and it means so much. I kept reading and the stuff on there. She has a huge heart. She had said, "I rescue animals, but really they have rescued me." And that's so heartfelt, everyone. It just ripped me up. I just looked at it and I said, you know what? That's with all of us animal lovers and advocates. But I want to bring her on live. It's her first time and looking forward to having her on again. Where the topic tonight is going to be about her foundation rescue. We're going to be talking about spay and neuter program and the shelter system. But I want to bring her on live. How are you doing this evening, Chris? Welcome to the show. This is awesome. Go right ahead. You're Hi. Live and on the air.
Hi, Debbie. Nice
Hello.
To finally speak with you. Hello.
This is great. You know, we've been, you know, speaking through the emails and Facebook and everything. And that's with a lot of my guests. We sometimes don't speak until we get on the radio.
Yeah, it's like improv.
Yeah.
You just have a premise and you don't have a script. I like that better.
But, Chris, you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started. And the first and foremost, you are wonderful, okay?
Thank you so much, Debbie.
All you do for our furry friends in need. This is great.
Thank you so much. You're very welcome. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. It's a calling. You know, we have a calling from God, and we have to answer it.
Yes.
But, it's very hard, especially when you're in the trenches and you see so many that are in need. And you rescue a lot, but there is still so many that need help, even after you've helped so much. It's like the post office. It just keeps coming. I'm praying that at one time this won't be the case, that we won't be so overwhelmed. I mean, the answer to the madness is spay and neuter. And we are not enforcing it. As a country, as a state of Southern California where I am located, but this is a world issue, but, you know, we'll stick with the United States for now. We are just not enforcing our laws, and there are some states that don't even have laws in place about spay and neuter. And basically that would stop what we're doing. It is easier right now for the shelters to kill than it is to enforce spay and neuter. That's really what it is. It just comes down to money and time. For them right now to start enforcing spay and neuter in my area in California, it's going to take manpower. And we have the laws in place, again, but we don't enforce them. Nobody's getting fined if they don't have a spayed or neutered pet. And backyard breeders are everywhere. They're on Craigslist. They're in parking lots. They're on the pier in Santa Monica and the boardwalk in Venice. And I can go on and on where they are. They're everywhere. And, you know, they're making maybe $25, $50, $75 to $100 tops on puppies. And then these poor puppies are either at the shelter when they reach about 1 year old or on the streets. A lot of people are throwing them in the woods. And this is true. Mm. It's not just, you know, a myth there. There are plenty of rescues that help the animals that are dumped in the woods. And so, again, this is a city problem. It's a government problem. And nobody's really helping. And I really think that is the answer. We should have a free spay and neuter clinic on every corner. Right now, we have so many microchip companies that are competing with each other. We don't need another microchip company to come out and give back to the animals. To me, that's not giving back. What would be giving back right now, if people would start a spay and neuter clinic, even if it was one. These are people that have, you know, a lot of financial backing, should be doing this. That's what I believe. like in Downey and LA County, you could have your dog picked up by the shelter, pick up the dog unspayed or neutered, and they will give the dog back unspayed or neutered and not fine them. I mean, I know this for a fact. I've dealt with it. I've spoken to the shelters, and they just tell me the same thing. We do not have the manpower. But you have the dog at your shelter. You don't really need manpower. You should have it mandatory that you spay or neuter a dog or cat that comes into your shelter that has a owner. I have to use the word owner because if I didn't, I would kind of probably confuse everybody that's listening. I don't believe in ownership. I want to say companion animal. We're having a problem because of the law of animals as property. I don't believe that any living being should own another living being. That is, to me, ridiculous. And I believe that the animals are the last form of legal slavery that's going on in the United States. They're used for entertainment and clothing and food, guard dogs, etc. And that should not be legal. Of course, to abolish that law of animals as property is a huge one. It's a huge venture, and I get it. But at one time, African Americans probably didn't feel that they would ever be non-slaves. So I do believe that we can do this. If we do this, it would blow up everything. It would blow up factory farming, experimental labs on animals for makeup and whatever they use, you know, for products. It would be illegal to kill a healthy animal at an animal shelter. I still can't believe that is legal. How can we as the United States feel that that's okay? I don't understand it. Not only that, in Utah and in Georgia, and I'm sure some other southern states that I can't recall, are still gassing. That's legal to gas animals to death. I, again, can't even believe that, especially Utah, because Utah is where Best Friends is, Best Friends Sanctuary. You would think that they wouldn't be gassing. In some of states, it's legal to have sex with animals. So, you know, and in the states that it isn't illegal, it's a slap on the wrist if you are caught having sex with your dog. I don't know about a cat, but, you know, or livestock or something like that. And we have cases that we have rescued dogs that have been raped here in Southern California. It's something that goes on. We don't talk about it. So basically, I just believe that we should be working towards changing that law. I know we would have to fight against the meat industry because if cows were not property, they couldn't do what they do to them. And what they do in factory farming is beyond, you know, that's what should be going on in hell when you go to hell. I can't believe that the United States permits that happen in their country. I just am beyond that. So anyway, that's a hot topic for me. I feel that if we do change that law, we wouldn't be going through what we're going through right now. And I know it's a tough one. It's some people say it will not happen. I believe that it will. I just don't know when, and I don't want to give up. So that's like, you know, I would think a long-term project for every animal lover, especially if you're vegan. So to go back to the spay and neuter, I think that we need more than educating people. I think most people know that you need to spay and neuter. I think we need to enforce it and fine people and get out there more to the streets, especially in Southern California. I mean, we're in a state of emergency here when it comes to animals. And as what I'm seeing, Texas, that's beyond me. I thought we were bad in California, but Texas is worse, I think, when it comes to abuse and strays all over the streets and being tossed into the woods.
I know. It's terrible. Like you said, in the United States, you know, we're continuing to allow this to happen, you know, to put it in front of our eyes and hear the stories. And there's got to be better solutions. And like you said, with spay and neuter, offer it free, because I heard, you know, like between 7 and 9 million healthy animals, adoptable animals, get put down a year. And so when I see 5 to 7, I mean, it's astronomical.
And we're not trying to solve the problem. The problem is spay and neuter. If we prevent the pregnancies, the births, and nobody's putting anything into that. I mean, there's a little bit they put into it, but it's easier to kill. And then they are using bodies for makeup for the dead bodies from shelters, and then also for feed for cows and chickens. So I understand they're making some profit on these bodies also. But you know what? It's just, come on, this is a moral issue. And we need to stop this. And I think the average person in society doesn't even know what's going on. I mean, there are people that I know that aren't really involved in animal rescue. They didn't even know that these shelters kill animals. I said, are you kidding me? I'll talk to my friends that aren't involved. They're like, you mean they kill them? I said, yes, they kill them. They kill like thousands. They were shocked that this was even going on. And we somehow, I know the media doesn't really like to talk about that. Well, but you know what's funny about the media? They'll talk about killings and shootings and everything, you know, like to get people to watch the news. And but then they won't put anything horrible on the news that could help, like the animals are being killed at the shelter, or, you know what I mean? It's just crazy to me. I guess it won't make people watch. They want sensationalism when it comes to people. But I would love if the general public would know a little bit more of what's going on. Also, would, when they see a stray, get involved, even if it is to pick up a stray and bring them to the shelter. It's better than the animal being on the street, because being on the street is the most dangerous. Though I know there are some shelters in the country that are probably more dangerous than the street. I mean, I do understand that. People have told me that. It's kind of like a double-edged sword. I don't know how to answer that, but just try to get involved if you see an animal that really needs help on the street. You know, here in Southern California, you know, LA Animal Services tries their best. I have to say that they're really making strides. The only thing is, again, I wish there were more free spay and neuter clinics. I wish they would put it out. I mean, free, not even $5, and it should be to anybody. It doesn't matter your income. If there's a unfixed animal, your goal is to fix them. That's really my opinion on it. So, because a lot of people have to go through, well, send in your pay stubs, and then we'll figure out if you make less than $40,000 a year. And, you know, people don't want to neuter in the first place. So if they have to go out of their way any which way, they won't do it. And it doesn't mean that if you make under $40,000 a year that your animal shouldn't be spayed or neutered, because there are mistakes even if you're making $500,000 a year. So I believe that an animal should be fixed. That's it. Doesn't matter who the owner is, or guardian, I should say. So just a little bit about me. I started in 2006. I became a 501c3 animal rescue organization. Prior to that, in 2005, I was director of animal welfare, a program called DAW, Director of Animal Welfare Program. I think they still have the website going, dawprogram.org. It was where we would meet with our neighborhood councils and kind of explain to them, you know, our needs for animals and kind of educate them about what was going on in their community. It was interesting, and we did make some progress that way. We even had the general manager at the time of Los Angeles Animal Services there, who was really trying his hardest to help. We wanted to talk about the way the animals were being killed or euthanized at the shelter, and we presented the two-shot euthanization, where when you're at a vet's office, you know, they give one shot just to calm the animals, and then the second shot would euthanize. And we got a no from that, which is terrible, because remember, in the shelters, they are euthanized with one shot, and that's just terrible. And nobody ever really talks about the way the animals are being euthanized at the shelters. And that's LA Animal Services, and, you know, they're pretty much the tops when it comes here. LA County is another story. I mean, they're getting sick in their kennels. I rescued a dog a couple of years ago that was had very bad pneumonia in her kennel, and she had to stay for a month at the hospital. So there was another animal that died in their kennel there, and she gave birth to a stillborn puppy in her kennel. So, oh boy, LA County really needs to improve. And again, I don't see any improvement over there. The treatment of the animals when they're at the shelter, they're misdiagnosed. So, for instance, if they'll say they want to kill an animal, okay, we'll just label the dog fractious. And then we'll make the rescue sign an indemnity waiver. And that's even harder. And very few rescues were allowed to sign indemnity waivers. So, you know, even with rescue, it was hard to help those animals at the LA County shelters. It still is. And it's getting worse, and which is disheartening. And I've been receiving emails from other rescues that are trying to get pull rights at LA County. They are being refused or foo-fooed. So it's taking them months and months, and they're never getting a response. So that's very hard to hear. And also, like, there's the divorce shelter that has a German Shepherd there for 3 months. And the German Shepherd had gotten out of her yard, and attacked another dog, the neighbor's dog, but didn't kill the dog or anything. Just, you know, dog behavior. The owner was out of town. And when he got back, they wouldn't give the dog back. The owner's 80 years old, and the dog is 10 years old, and he's had the dog since she's been a puppy. So the dog now has been at the divorce shelter for 3 months on a hard concrete floor. And no matter what attorneys are trying to do, the animal rescue community is trying to do, a petition was put together. The divorce shelter will not give back the senior citizen who goes to the shelter every day crying his dog back. And I, you know, we deal as animal rescuers with that kind of stuff, yet they're killing a devourer left and right. They find an owner of a dog that didn't really do anything. The dog is 10 years old. The dog's not a danger. You know, give the guy back his dog. So there we have it, where the animals have no voice, and a lot of time animal activists don't have voices either. And then we have to raise our voices, which we don't like to do, and then protest. And always it comes to that again, and it leads back to these animals are considered property. So, you know, I'm just trying to go through all the different shelters. Even the best of the best shelters are still kill because of the overpopulation problem that we have. And again, there was one woman who she passed on. Her name was, oh God, I forgot her name. She was an activist, and I remember her telling me a few years back, she said, Chris, if it was against the law to kill dogs and cats and whatever animal is at the shelter, believe me, the city would work so hard to start the spay and neuter programs, because then it would cost them money, because they wouldn't be able to kill, euthanize, and they would have to either build more kennels or they'd be in trouble. But now, because it's legal, they're never going to change. It's never going to change unless the law is that we cannot kill healthy animals. You can't go out there and kill a squirrel. Well, a duck, okay? Like, you know, if you go to, there's certain wildlife, and if you went and you tampered with, it's against the law. You're not allowed to do that. it should be against the law to do that to an animal brought to a government-owned facility. They should not be allowed, especially when you're not even positive that these animals are, quote, owned, if they're not somebody's property. So, you know, that's just another issue. It's like the more I do this, the more I realize it's the laws. I mean, we can rescue all we want, but we're not going to save them all until we attack the laws. And a great thing that just happened is that, you know, Los Angeles is fur-free. It's against the law now to sell a piece of fur, of clothing with fur on it, bags, anything like that, because they want to stop the killing of the animals, the foxes, the minks, all that kind of stuff, which is wonderful. It's great. But wait a minute, have we not forgotten right under our noses that we are killing animals at our shelters, which are 5 minutes away from our home? You don't
have to go
into the forest. Yeah. You know, and I believe all animals, because I'm an animal activist, so meaning any animal I care about. I care about a slug. I mean, you know, so it's not that I don't care. Yeah, I care about the foxes and all that. But we are killing man's best friend in our shelters, and we have cockfighting that's going on. We have pit fighting that's going on. We allow free animals on Craigslist so that pit fighters can find them at the pit, the bait. And this is all man's best friend, that we are allowing this to happen.
I know.
So,
it's terrible.
Yeah. When is the law going to come into play where it says we cannot kill a healthy animal, no matter if the animal is in the woods or in somebody's home or that's brought to the shelter? You know, that is a big question of mine, and I know we need to move towards that, because I see that a lot of activists are going after the mayor, the general manager, you know, of LA Animal Services, and really, I just feel that is a waste of time, especially the general manager of the shelters, because they can only go by the laws that they're reading. You know, I don't believe that the general manager wants something bad to happen to an animal. I do believe that she's trying. What I'm saying is there's only so much somebody in office or in, you know, her position can do that's beyond the law. So now if you get up to the mayor, I don't know. I mean, I shouldn't say. I think that he hasn't made any changes towards shelter animals, and I'm really hoping that, you know, it'll change day by day. I hope that, you know, somebody up there with a heart and wants to think outside the box does something. And I know that I think as a group we need to make politicians feel that, you know, voters love animals, and if you're not going to help the animals, we're not going to vote for you. And I think that will make a change too, because unfortunately with humans, if it doesn't benefit them, a lot of people won't do anything. I'm not like that, but I'm saying that, you know, okay, well, I won't get votes, so I better do what they ask me to do. Maybe they don't have a heart to help the animals, but they want votes. So I think that in a political viewpoint, that's the way to go that way. So that's kind of the spay and neuter situation in a nutshell. But in the meantime, rescuers are trying their hardest to get everybody spayed and neutered. It's not cheap. Even for rescues, it costs $100 to spay an animal, sometimes more. So they're trying to do their best. I know a lot of rescuers who are just maxed out in their credit cards. And, you know, and is that a ring?
Yes, we got a caller calling in there, Chris.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought that maybe That was God telling me he hears me.
Oh, he does hear you all right. And he really appreciates what you're doing for all his innocent creatures, beautiful innocent creatures, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. Everybody has a plan, so we have to stand up for him. And he knows
yes.
what we're doing here, you know? So, but anyway, caller, area code 818. You're live and on the air. Go ahead. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio. Voice is scared for animals. If you have any comments or questions for your guest, please.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, Chris Kelly. This is Missy.
Oh, that's Missy. Hi, Missy. Missy is,
hi, Chris.
Missy's one of my great volunteers. She transports and she fosters dogs. And she works with a lot of other rescues also, but she's my favorite. And she never says no. I tell you.
Thank you.
She just transported some the other day, you know, some ducks and some, ducks and goats. No goats yet, but she's turtles.
Turtles and ducks? Uh-huh. And I can't wait to get the ducks and the pigs. I mean, the goats and the pigs. But, Chris, I love working with you more than anything. What you do is incredible. And I used to cringe when I would have to drive by a shelter, just drive by one. Now I've gone into so many, and I literally come out crying. But I can't stop doing it because I know I'm still helping them. And while it's heartbreaking, at the same time, it's rewarding.
Exactly.
Missy, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Are you on a speakerphone? Because we're picking up some, it's crackling up, and there's some noises in the background. We'd love to hear everything you're saying, you know, to the audience.
Oh, yes, I am. I'm in the car right now bringing home a little boy that we just did an amputation and neuter on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it was, you know, cutting up and everything, and we want the Blog Talk Radio picks up all kind of sounds, you know, when if you're outside or on a speakerphone.
Well, I'll tell you that, Missy just came back from a Dr. Singh, I think, and to have a dog, you know, again neutered and an amputation. Again, a lot of animals are brought to the shelter after they're hit by cars because people are letting them roam on the street, and then when they get hit by a car, they can't afford the surgery. So rescues take them in, and this is the case with this one dog here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just amputated his left front leg, and he got neutered.
Oh,
so
wonderful. That's so great.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
Well,
but
thank you, Missy. You're so sweet to call in. I had told Missy I was going to be on the radio.
Oh, that's great, Missy. Thanks for calling in. You know, that's teamwork. That's what it takes.
It is.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, this working in rest, we've all seen pictures and we've heard stories, but until you're actually in rescue, you haven't seen anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. She said it. So true.
Front lines.
You really don't know.
Front lines.
Yes. Exactly. And, you know, until you know.
Oh, my God.
It's like we say, it's like being in quicksand. Once you're in it, you just can't get out.
No, I won't stop doing this because it's too important and we don't have enough people who want to do this because they think they can't take the heartbreak.
Right.
But, you know, you do it. You can't stop because it just melts your heart to be able to save them. And their eyes are so soulful when they look into your face. And they're, like, begging you and pleading and saying thank you. It's the best feeling in the world.
Yes, it is. It really is. It's a calling, and you have to answer it, and if you don't, you get anxiety. You have to answer God's prayer.
Exactly.
You're so right. And I got another caller call in.
Thank
you. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you for calling in.
Yes, we got a packed studio, everyone.
Okay,
thank
I'll
you
talk
for
you later, Missy.
Keep
right,
doing inspiring work you're doing, okay?
Thank you. And Chris, I work with a few, but she's my favorite. She doesn't stop 24/7. Her heart just goes.
Oh, and you're my favorite, Missy. You really are.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
You never say no. Never. You never say no.
I can't.
I know. You're the Chris fan.
I am. But as long as you're there with me, which you are, it's all good.
Right. Well, we're all here for each other. Moral support.
We are. And as you've always said to me, it takes a village. You are so right. Oh, my God. It takes beyond. Yeah, it does.
Yes, it is. Without everybody else, we can't do it. It doesn't take one person.
Okay,
we
I'm
going to
take this up. Other caller, you.
Okay. All right, Debbie.
All right.
Thank you, Missy.
Bye,
thank
Chris.
You.
You're
keep
welcome.
Listening. Okay, Erica. 719, you're live and on the air. Do you have any comments or questions for the guest, please?
Hi, Debbie. Hi, Chris. How are you ladies doing today?
Good. How are you, Mama Cat? How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, Chris, I just wanted to thank you for all the hard work you do there in California. I know it's crazy out there, and this is Ray Bittner. I try and share all your stuff that I can on our page, and you're doing an amazing job.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you saying that. It's hard, so hard, you know, and, like, I appreciate you sharing and everybody else that's helping, even out of state, like, especially out of state, to try to help California, because I know there's a lot of people on Facebook that are trying to help our state that is in such disarray when it comes to the animals, and I truly appreciate all you guys, because I know you have the same calling I do, you know. And, you know, I always say animal people are like family. They really are.
Yes, they are. We're animal warrior brothers and sisters.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the issue that I have found with California is, you know, so many people from out of state are trying to help by rescuing some of these animals out of these high kill shelters, like the Devour, like you were talking, that one is just horrible. And it's almost impossible for a rescue to get those animals out. They make it difficult.
I know. There are people that are on Facebook that, you know, I don't want to say, but trolls, and they try to stops really good people from rescuing from the state who needs it so bad. Now, I know bad things have happened when people are not diligent about where the animals go. So, you know, like if you just ship out a dog or cat or whatever animal without knowing where you're bringing them and doing a home check and doing your reference check and all that, I understand. It can set up the animal for, you know, a fall and in danger, to be put in danger. Because, like it or not, we have really bad people out there, you know. So we have to protect them even in that way. But you cannot stop other rescues out of state from helping, because that truly is the answer to help, I'll say California, not just L.A., at the moment. Until we get the spay and neuter situation down, we are just killing way too many animals, and there are people out there that do want to help. I know, like, Potter's League, there's another place in Boston that takes animals that the ASPCA will transport, but those are only two places. There has to be more that can work with them. And even individual rescues that can come together and to know what each other is doing, that should be worked out also. I always said that, you know, just can't stop some people that are on like Facebook or social media from trying to help. You know what I mean? There's kind of a dark side to the social media rescue also, you know?
There is.
I always tell people, don't let it get you down. You know, if it's happening to you or somebody's trying to harm you in any way, reputation-wise or anything, just, you know that that's spiritual warfare coming after you because you're trying to change the world for the good, and you can't take it personally and don't take it to heart. You just keep on going.
Oh, yeah, I don't let it get to me. I figure there's too many animals that need help out there, but I wanted to talk to you about, do you have any work in progress trying to get more vets to donate time? That's my big thing right now. I'm trying to get vets to, you know, if they all donated just a couple hours on a weekend and we could line it up, you know.
That would be just, that's a beautiful thing. Let me tell you. I don't know other states, but I have not met a vet that I really like in my area. There's one that I like. I like Malibu Coast. And there, I just did a surgery with another guy, I think Dr. Galeo in West L.A., who was a nice man. I tell you, I've never met so many vets in our area that are so high-priced, high attitude. They don't want to give back. They don't want to help. And they will rip people off left and right. We had a dog that we rescued out of one of the shelters who had a bacteria infection. The first surgery cost $6,000. And then they had the nerve to tell me, because there was still some more bacteria in the dog, that was going to be another $2,500. So that cost $8,500 for this bacteria. And I had a little, like, argument with them. And they didn't care. So, like, that's what it is. That's the price. And can you imagine? And that was all because a neuter went bad at the shelter. $8,500. And if we didn't pay it, the dog was going to die from this infection. So I don't find many vets in our area that want to give back or help, unfortunately.
And, you know,
but
it's even worse. The veterinarians are getting together and suing the rescues for doing spay and neuter. And, you know, it's all about the money. Excuse my throat. I have a really bad cold.
Now, where was this happening?
It's all through the South, Alabama, Kentucky, down in that area. And they're, you know, the Veterinarian Association or whatever it was, they're getting together. They've got strength. You know, my motto is strength in numbers, but they have it too. You know, and it's about the money, though. They do not use spaying and neutering. They do not want them giving vaccinations, shots of any kind, and it's because they're stealing business from them. That's all it's about.
Right. It's always about money. And you know what gets me is they should be happy that spay and neutering is being done, period, so that you don't have the overpopulation problem. And I know a lot of rescues that give their own shots. I can't just because I get squeamish, but I know great rescues here that I know that they buy all of this stuff and then they give the shots to their rescue animals. I think that's wonderful.
The only shots I don't give is rabies.
Wow,
because
that's great.
Be registered and everything.
Right, right. But it's great that you can give your own shots. I don't know. I just kind of.
Times it was, I was like, oh my God, what if I go too deep? What if I do this?
Right.
What if I, you know, but I'm a lot better at it now. The more squeamish you are, the harder it is to do it, of course.
Oh, yeah. I tried it once at a vet's office and the needle went into my finger. And so the vet said, okay, you know, let's not have you do it, because they were trying to teach me how I could do it myself, and it just, it wasn't going to work. But, yeah, but see, here you go have it. Of the South that needs so much help that the vets have the nerve to do something like that, especially in the South where you've got so many issues going on with overpopulation problems over there, heart disease, heartworm, and then they're gassing. They're also gassing in Georgia. You would just think that they wouldn't give anybody in the South a hard time.
And they're also the heart stick.
Oh, the heart stick, yeah, I heard about that. I heard about that.
Terrible.
Yeah, they're killing with the heart stick. I don't know. This country has so much, we're just so not as advanced as we think we are. And we're not paying attention to the most vulnerable in this country.
That's the thing, we are advanced, and we're ignoring it.
Yes.
You know,
I guess we're
saying.
not morally advanced. That's the problem when it comes to our, you know, our furry animals, and we
and
need to have
these veterinarians, and they'll just knock you into the dirt. You know, they've got all the attorneys and the money, and they're mad because we can do a spay and neuter for $25, you know, our fee. And they charge $365,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And so at that is we're stealing money from them, and it just doesn't make sense. I'm trying to go through the Chamber of Commerce, and I'm trying to get, if you're registered in my city and we are patronizing your business as a veterinarian, we're giving to you. We're trusting our animals to you. How hard is it to give back to that community that you're in, that we're
right.
making you a part of? You know, and if people start looking at it like that, it's not just your problem and my problem and Debbie's problem. It's everybody's problem in the community. These animals are
Do you have a community council?
No.
No? Okay. What part are you in?
I'm in Colorado.
I'm going to talk to Charlotte. Let me talk to Charlotte Laws about our DAW program and see if there's somehow that we can help you in that area. Let me see. Because we have a program. She put it together, and you can tell her who you want to speak to, and let me see what we can do. Remind me, give me a PM on Facebook so I have your information, and I'll give Charlotte a call.
I sure will, Chris.
Yeah, let's see what we can do with that. Yeah, that's why she wants to get the DAW program back up and going, and I think it'll be a good idea because we can do other states. We could even do other countries, like we can do England and Italy and all that. So let me see what she can do by appointing you to something within your area in Colorado so you kind of have a little platform to speak on when you go to the chamber.
That would be great.
Yeah, let me see what she says. Okay, yeah, Peek, if you can PM me today, and if not, if you don't get me, I'm pretty sure you can get me through Facebook, but if not, email me at Chris, K-R-I-S, at thechriskellyfoundation.org, so I have your email.
We're friends on Facebook.
Okay, PM me. Yeah, PM me.
I will.
And let me get that moving forward.
Yeah,
that
that's
great.
My guests connect, and it brings on more team players out there and people working together as one. This is awesome. And Chris, Ray Bittner, she is a director at the Community Cats United. And she was a guest last week, and she had her 10-year-old grandson on speaking out, and both of them did wonderful jobs on the radio. I mean, their voice was great. And tell Skyler, I said hi, Ray, that he did a outstanding, I let you know before, but he's a little advocate, 10 years old. I believe he's going to grow up and be a great voice for the cats and stuff, maybe more. This is
awesome. We need more of those kids.
Yes.
He's trying to set up an educational program at his school. And I'm letting him do the whole thing. He's going to present his purpose to the principal, and then he's going to go in front of the student body council and present it, you know, do a presentation and see if they can get something started at the school. At 10 years old, I'm more proud.
Good for him. Good for him.
Know,
tell me when
so
he does that. Yeah, tag me in that.
I will.
I want to read about it. I tell him thank you so much. Tell him he's got the calling. He's got the calling from God.
He's right here. He lives on Debbie's show every single week.
Oh, hello.
Nice. Thank you, Skyler. That's wonderful. I can't look forward to having you both on again. You know, you've been on several times, and I told Chris that looking forward to having her back in 2020 because all my shows are booked up till the middle of January of 2020. So this is awesome.
Great.
Yes.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, I guess what else did I say I was going to talk about? I'm in the middle now of writing my memoir, and it's called Fame to Fur, and it's about my journey through Hollywood and, you know, doing my acting and dealing with Hollywood and the fame issue, and then how my journey went into the calling for animals, you know. So my journey went into that from being director of animal welfare, getting my own nonprofit, and then working on that. So that should be out, you know, be done probably by the new year. I'm in the middle of writing it now. So it's actually really cool to go through that and write it, because you do see how your eyes were being opened. And, you know, when you started seeing the issues, and prior to that, I had no idea they killed in the shelter either, you know. So it is amazing, and hopefully that'll make somebody realize that they need to open their eyes. You know, it can't all be about them in this lifetime, because we're really not here to entertain ourselves all the time and, you know, have a great time. You were really here to give back and make this world a better place. That's the only reason we're born, and most people don't even realize that. I never did. I thought, oh, I'm here to meet my passion and to, like, get this going, and that is definitely part of life. Don't get me wrong. You want to have a good time. You want to love people. You want to, you know, entertain yourself and all that. I'm not saying that, but the main thing you're here on Earth for is to give back, no matter what passion you have, whether it be children or animals or the elderly or whatever it is. You know, it could be, you know, the veterans, AIDS patients, whatever it is that you're getting that calling for. Make sure you do it, because if you don't do it, that's when you'll start experiencing anxiety. And that, I think that most of the people on all these anti-anxiety pills will get off of them when they start to give back and realize that it's all not all about them. So that's really what the book is about. Yeah, it is.
Agreed.
Yes.
The best anxiety pill is picking up an animal that needs your help.
Yes, you said it.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. It is. That's why you're feeling the anxiety to begin with, because you're not listening to your calling. And I always tell, like, friends of mine that, give back, and whatever is ailing you will disappear. That's why I use the quote, you know, I rescue animals, but really they rescued me. Because prior to that, you know, I was living that type of lifestyle. You know, the shopping, the this, the going out, blah, blah, blah. And I thought that was all that life was about. And then all of a sudden the anxiety kicks in, and, you know, you're going out too much, or, you know, you're fighting with your friends, or whatever it is. It's because there's something within you saying you have to give back. And some people don't understand that calling, and, you know, some people die that way, you know, being anxious. So why do you think we have so many people that have problems with alcohol, drugs, you know, that kind of thing? They're just not happy because they're not listening to why we're really here. And once you listen to it, not that you're not going to have any problems, because there's always going to be problems out there and darkness in the world, but you know, you're on the right track, your anxiety level will be much less.
My issue sometimes is I want to help too many. There's so
yeah.
many. You know,
well,
there's just so many that need help, and I'm only one person, and it just sometimes it feels like I'm just not doing enough, but.
Oh, I think we all feel that way. That's the thing. It's like I never think I'm doing anything because there's always that one or two that I didn't get to. So I could save like 10, like at one time, walk out of the shelter with 10, but I see another 20 sitting there that I can't take. So I didn't feel like
right.
I did anything. So the 10 that I just saved, I can't even pat myself on the back for it because I concentrate more on the 20 that I couldn't save in my head. That's why
right.
I say that we need help here. We need help from the cities and the government because we're going to drive ourselves crazy because we are
yes.
only one person, 20 people, 2,000 people. You know, we need the laws to change and help us. We need help.
Yes, we
and,
do. And
yeah.
call your legislators, everyone out there. You know, let your voice be heard. Email them, you know, call them up. Write letters, fax them, make appointments. And that, I memorized that phone number, area code 202-224-3121. And once you call during the week, during office hours, they'll ask you your zip code and ask to speak to your representative or senator. Our voices do matter. So, you know, get
we want them.
And then, you know, be professional and polite. I do that, you know, through emails or phone calls or letters or petitions. I be polite to them and you'll get farther. You know, so
I agree with
you. The more voices out there, you know, the better. Yeah.
I agree. And that's where us as a group, and there's a lot of people out there that love animals. As a group, you said it, if you make phone calls and emails and letters, it does help. So if you're working a full-time job and you can't foster or do anything like that, call, write a letter on your lunch hour. You know, it really does help. You're right, Debbie. It's a way
yes.
of helping if you're working
that's
in
right.
corporate America, you know, and you can't do anything. Just a letter, phone call,
yeah.
email.
And, you know, the comments, I've seen people writing comments on Facebook. You know, put them in them comments because Facebook is not going to change no laws. It's a landing strip for all of us to meet. So,
right.
you know, take them comments, put them into words, write that letter or email, and you'll see better results than anything. You know, I see that happening, you know, with this radio platform. You know, I can't make changes, but thousands of like me can. So we're on here recruiting you to do something and just not, you know, turn your head or close your eyes because animals are not property. They're living animal beings, and they should be treated like living animal beings, you know, just treated with dignity and respect. And, ladies, we are down to, like, 2 minutes. This has been another
wow.
great show. Chris, Kelly, thank you for all you're doing, and keep it up, and looking forward to having you back on. It was such an honor and a pleasure to have you on this evening. And Ray Bittner, Director of the Community Cats United. Thank you for all your support on these shows. And give Skyler, send him a hug or give him a hug for me and say thank you for all he's doing at his school and getting his classmates involved. And, you know, it's so meaningful what he's doing. And also Missy, who called in, that works with Chris, thank you for doing what you're doing and taking the time to make that call this evening. And keep up the inspiring work you're doing. And everyone, I want to thank my mother. She's my beautiful mother, Pat. She's listening this evening, and she's beautiful inside and out. She listens to a lot of my shows. Her nickname's Moose. She don't look like a moose, but her nickname's Moose. Love you, Mom.
Hi, Moose. And I'll say one thing before we close. Everybody
yeah.
try to be vegan. Don't if you love animals, don't eat them. That's why I say that one plug. And if you feel like you can't, just cut down on meat as much as you can.
Yeah, and it's better, you know, to vegan. There's more vegans coming out. Recipes, restaurants is offering.
Yes.
You know, look into it. Educate yourself. Wake yourself up to the, you know, behind the scenes. But I want. We got 10 seconds left, everyone.
Okay.
Have a great night and a relaxing one. And next week will be Val Silver. She's been on before. Rescue Me Tells. She has a new book out coming out, and we'll be. I'll be interviewing her next week. And thanks to everyone that's supporting this show out there, promoting it and getting the word out. But hopefully you join in next week, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Good night, everyone. Good night, Chris and Ray.
Good night, Debbie. Good night, Ray.
Have a great
evening.
Good night
talking to you.
Okay,
bye, you guys.
Big hugs to everyone.
Bye.
Okay? God bless you all.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye.